This is a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Tear down this wall.
Broadcasting live from Z-Talk Studios in beautiful downtown Virginia, Minnesota. It's Z-Talk Live with your hosts, Joel Sturgis and Scotty Rourke.
Wow, Scotty, it's another Monday, isn't it?
Monday.
It's a horrible
Tuesday. Beautiful downtown Virginia, Minnesota.
That's right.
Not that beautiful, dude.
I love it here.
I like the town, but it's just not that beautiful.
I think it's beautiful.
It's a
beauty, my friend, is in the eye of the beholder.
Then you are one lovely dude.
That's right. I'm the Brooke Shields of bald men.
The bald men. Yeah, what's up with that picture on Skype, dude?
You like that, don't you?
With the glasses. You're trying to be like me with my sunglasses.
No. You like the hitman.
Our futures are so bright, we need to wear shades.
You like the hitman look, don't you?
No.
Yeah. See, that's it. Right,
kind of. You look like the Men in Black, dude.
That's kind of like what I was going after, you know, in a way. You know,
so. It works. I mean, it's perfect. I just don't want you to flash that thing at me, and then I forget everything.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I have that for my wife actually. When I mess up, I just kind of hold it up there and say, "Look into the light." That's it.
I have that after eating my wife's dinner. I flash myself and I say, "Honey, that was good.
That was great meal, honey."
A turkey day coming, man. Thank goodness my mom cooks.
That's funny. Oh, are you saying that Terry isn't much of a cook?
If it doesn't come out of a can.
You could say I plead the fifth, though. I'm going to give you an out.
No, I'm not. I'll go for it. If it doesn't come out of a can.
You're braver than I am.
And if she can't pour beans in it, whatever, man. That's crazy.
So Spam's a big item in your household.
Fried Spam, yeah.
That's good to eggs, though.
I know. See, it's really good. And then we have what you call toad in the hose. You ever have those? Where you take out the center of a piece of toast, you butter both sides, and you fry the egg inside the toast.
I don't think I have.
Oh, dude, those are really good.
Put
some fried Spam on that.
I'm going to have to give that a whirl, man. You know, I'm all about trying new stuff.
I love food in general, man. Oh, give me some food.
Every time I talk to you in a restaurant.
True. It's true. That's, you know, the one thing, you know, a lot of people have a lot of, you know, people smoke, people drink. I eat. That's my last thing. I don't drink. I don't smoke. What do you do? I don't drink. Don't smoke. What do you do?
I drink.
Sorry. A little straight cats for everybody tonight. Thank you.
I drink. I smoke.
You eat.
I do. Have you seen me? I mean, come on.
I love going out to restaurants. I think that's like the best, you know, when you're able to eat and go out, just spend time with the family, and you know, and it's a good time because you're kind of forced. I mean, at home there's TV, there's the computer, there's everyone at Z-Talk Radio, you know, and that type of stuff takes you away from your family and time, where when you can go out and you can actually spend time at a restaurant, it kind of forces you to be together as a family, you know. And
yeah.
I like that as a part. That's kind of our night out. It's kind of our dealy, you know, as a family. So
yeah. Well, see, my family and I, we avoid each other as much as possible. So there are no family outings.
Yeah.
We had one time. Ended tragically.
Yes.
It ended up with underwear screaming, yelling in the middle of underwear, I guess, a better, that's the nickname.
Explain it.
Yeah. And underwear is the nickname for my youngest boy. He's 5. And he has what they call ADHD. And plus, he's dyspraxic on top of it, which is very, very close to being, like, autistic. Very close. Very, you know, not quite, but very close, where he can't talk very well, stuff like that. And his very first real words that we heard he kept on screaming this phrase over and over and over. And this is about the time that Scotty met him. Everything was underpants, or underwear, rather.
Underwear.
First thing he says to Scotty when they meet, he says, "Guess what?" This guy says, "What?" He says, "Underwear."
And I'm Uncle Adi. So.
That's right. That's right. But, yeah.
He's a great kid. Love him dearly. We went out trick-or-treating with him this year, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a great time.
Except for it snowed in Virginia, Minnesota. Everyone says, hey, we're actually supposed to get our first snow here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think Thanksgiving. Madison, so. I think Thanksgiving we're set to like get a quarter of an inch or an inch or something.
I can't stand it. I don't want any more snow.
It's coming,
though.
It's
just starting.
It's coming, though. But, you know, it
we
might
have
be
El Nino
snowing,
this year, though. So
yeah,
it's supposed
that's true.
To be warmer.
That's true. You know, we might be having a cold weather right now. We got a hot show tonight. Like that. Huh? A little segue into that.
Oh, that was nice.
I know. Listen to me. We have an absolute blockbuster guest, and that's Vince Wilson. And you're on the line right now, right, Vince?
That's right. I'm here.
That's right. We're not going to do any of this long, drawn-out stuff because Vince is not only a good friend, but he's also a host right here on Z-Talk Radio.
That's right.
And you do the Mr. America show, right?
Yep, and the soon-to-premiere Ghost Tech show.
Cool. Cool. That's cool.
Yes.
Yeah. See. So and you're currently, might as well throw this out there now for anyone that's listening that may be interested, you are currently looking for a co-host. Am I correct? A qualified co-host?
That is correct. Several possibilities are out there.
You know, so if you'd like to get into radio, Have a chance to do radio with the caliber of a person like Vince Wilson. And besides, you're going to learn a ton from Vince along the way. Go ahead, send your application to Vince. Go ahead, hit him up an email. How can they get a hold of you there, Vince?
They can email any application to vince@boosttech.net.
That's right. Give it a whirl. Not only is Vince well-versed in the technical aspect of ghost hunting, or paranormal investigation, as we like to call it, but he's also the editor-in-chief and owner of Ghost Tech Magazine.
Yes, if you would like to see a copy of Ghost Tech Magazine and learn a lot more about it, go to mag.ghosttech.net.
There you go. Without further ado, though, guys, we have to get into the news before I totally forget. Unfortunately,
let's go to news, baby.
Unfortunately,
yeah, really
Tammy...
News tonight.
I know, it's an odd news night. Tammy couldn't be with us. She has to work, but she did podcast it for us. What a trooper, huh?
I agree. You That's
know,
awesome.
Yeah, so let's roll the intro, and then we'll roll Tammy.
You're listening to Z-Talk Live Radio News, and this is Tammy Henderson with your news updates. And good evening on this November the 23rd, Monday of 2009. As we quickly approach Thanksgiving this week, we are seeing early Black Friday sales at Best Buy, Walmart, and other stores. This would be the perfect time to do a little holiday shopping early. Amazon.com and Best Buy have joined the growing list of retailers announcing early Black Friday sales promotions for 2009. Many of the deals are available online, so if you don't want to get out there and shop by car and in the store in the crowds, you can also go online. Before the morning on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, you will see a lot of sales. Other stores continue to roll out previews of their advertisements so shoppers can gear up for deals that will be available this week. And in other news, a depressed woman loses her benefits after a Facebook post in which she looked happy. Yes, that's true. An insurance company cuts benefits of a woman who posted fun pictures to Facebook. It kind of gives new meaning to the idea of maybe having a little too much fun on Facebook and sharing too much information. After a vacation with her mother and a few nights out with friends, Nathalia Blanchard thought nothing of posting a few pictures to her Facebook page. In the photos, the 29-year-old Canadian woman appears to be having a good time, enjoying the company of family and friends on the beach and at a bar. Now Blanchard says her employer's insurance company is using those pictures against her, cutting her benefits because she appeared to be having too much fun. For the past year, Blanchard has been on leave from her job at IBM Bromont, Quebec office after a doctor diagnosed her with major depression. She started receiving monthly sick leave benefits from the Canadian Manulife Financial Insurance Company. But this fall, the checks stopped coming when Blanchard called Manulife to find out why. She said she was told it was because the Facebook pictures indicated she was no longer depressed and ready to return to work. Well, in her excuse, she said, well, you know, my doctor told me to get out there and have fun, so that's what I was trying to do. So it looks like people might want to be a little bit more careful about what they post on their Facebook and MySpace pages. Thousands of strange creatures found deep in the ocean. Dr. Seuss-like creatures have been discovered in the dark ocean depths. The creatures living in the depths of the ocean are as weird and outlandish as the creations in a Dr. Seuss book. Tentacled, transparent sea cucumbers, primitive dumbos that flap ear-like fins, and tube worms that feed off of oil deposits. A report released Sunday recorded 17,650 species living below 656 feet. The point where sunlight ceases. The findings were the latest update on a 10-year census of marine life. Parts of the deep sea that we assumed were homogeneous are actually quite complex, said Robert S. Carney, an oceanographer at Louisiana State University and a lead researcher on the deep seas. In a very interesting story, a mom says son in coma heard everything said for 23 years. Yes, he heard it all, allegedly in a vegetative coma and unconscious for decades, and he could not respond. A man who emerged from what doctors thought was a vegetative state says he was fully conscious for 23 years but could not respond because he was paralyzed. Rom Hubin, 46, had a car crash in 1983, and doctors thought he had sunk into a coma. His family continued to believe their son was conscious and sought further medical advice. Rom used the device to tell a reporter for the German magazine Dr. Spiegel that he screamed and asked for help, but nobody could hear him. Coma is a state of unconsciousness in which the eyes are closed and the patient can't be roused as if simply asleep. A vegetative state is a condition in which the eyes are open and can move, and the patient has periods of sleep and periods of wakefulness, but remains unconscious and unaware of himself or others. The patient can't think, reason, respond, do anything on purpose, or chew or swallow. That's pretty scary to imagine being in a coma for 23 years and wanting to talk and wanting to do stuff, and you can't. You can't. It's like, hello, I'm here. Can anybody hear me? Can anybody help me? Very scary. And in other news, does obesity really matter, and how much fat do you really have on your body, and what difference does it make? Well, some people are happy with it, and that's okay. But the next time you plan to go to Peru, I would think a little differently. It looks like in Peru, fat has become a high commodity where people are killing people with too much body fat. Yes, that's true. They're killing people with too much body fat, and they're selling it on the open market for cosmetics. Now, just how do they go about doing that? They kill the person. They take their head off. They take the torso. They hang it upside down with a hook, and they place the torso over a bowl. And a candle helps the fat content of the torso drip into the bowl, and thus they get the fat to sell. They make $62,000 per gallon, and this is in Peru. Pretty odd story. Mom says marijuana saved her autistic son's life, and can THC treat symptoms of ASD? Given the many challenges involved in raising an autistic child, parents are willing to try a variety of potential remedies, many of which are controversial and unproven. But one potential treatment has gained attention recently is one of controversy, the first mention in connection with helping autism. Hester Perez made her decision to try giving her 10-year-old son Joey Perez medical marijuana after his weight became dangerously low due to his unwillingness to eat. She said that at the time she began the approach, he weighed only 46 pounds. Hester says the marijuana balanced her son, and that normally he was self-injurious and became extremely aggressive and would run out of the house and become a danger to himself and others. But just hours after she gave him one of the pot-infused brownies, she said she could see a change both in his appetite and demeanor. I saved my son's life, she says, and marijuana saved my son's life. When a mother hears that her son is knocking on death's door, you will do anything to save his life, said Hester Perez. And that's it for your Z-Talk Live news update on this November 23rd of 2009, wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving and a wonderful, wonderful time with your family.
Dude, killing people for fat?
No, dude. Dude, I had some brownies at Thane.
Dude,
I can make so much money off my fat.
No kidding, man.
If I could just burn some off me, I can make $62,000.
I wonder. I wonder if they hang out at McDonald's waiting for that right person to come along. There he is. Look at all that fat on him.
He's not too fat yet. Like, we'll wait a
gallon. They got 62 grand a gallon.
Yeah, but how many gallons do you get per fat person?
I suppose it depends on the fat person.
They probably hold up signs saying, "We love Americans."
Yeah. Yes. Come make money with us.
Yeah.
No, but really, I mean, that's just disgusting. It's funny in a way, because I guess the kicker is they're using their women's cosmetics. Think of all the women that are wearing eyeshadow right now that has some guy's ass in it.
Is that eyeshadow? It's ass shadow.
That's right. Oh, my God. Yes, that's awfully good right now that you're wearing. Look at that. Look at the shine on that. Well, that's great because it's got Jim's ass in it.
Now, if it had mine in it, it would be even shinier.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to hurry up and thank Tammy for doing a bang-up job reading the news today and going above and beyond in podcasts. A lot of people just would have said, well, I have to work, screw you guys, which most of them do, quite honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And most of our guests and most of our
Yeah. Oh, I have to wash my hair. you know, that's just how it rolls. What do you think, Vince? What do you think about people burning other people's fat to get paid?
I think that, you know, the bad economy right now, we might be seeing more of this.
Vince is like, man, that is a real viable option.
Yeah, seriously. Mm.
If you could think about just like carving it off of you and then burning it down, do you think that would be work?
I wouldn't necessarily want to carve it off myself. I might carve it off you, Scotty.
See, it would be like fatosuction.
Yeah. Why don't they just go to plastic surgeons? I'm surprised plastic surgeons at this rate aren't making money hand over fist, even be more than they are now, by selling when they liposuction.
I know. If you can make $62,000, that's pretty great.
But think of the diseases that might be implicated in this.
Dude, that really makes a whole new statement for whaling.
Oh my God.
Here's a tourist walking through the woods in your Hawaiian shirt, your fat ass, and your khaki shorts.
Yeah, well, if they're wearing khakis, they deserve to die.
Someone harpooned you from the jungle.
Yeah. Ow. Look, it's a land whale.
Land ho, matey.
AKA an American. Get him. No one will miss him. We did a. Now we know what happened to Natalie Holloway.
No, she wasn't fat, though.
There was this one-legged Peruvian looking for that big, fat white guy that got away last year.
Yes, the land whale. Yes, call me Ishmael. No, I mean, that's just crazy. What's this world coming to? I mean, first we have people burning a chunk, rendering fat off people. Although I do have to say that the ADD treatment was kind of cool, and the pot brownies were even cooler.
Yeah, that's right.
Dude, I'm still loving the pot brownies during the break.
Have you ever tried one?
No.
You've never tried one? Oh, no. My God. How about you, Vince? Come on.
No, I've never taken an illegal substance in my entire life.
Oh, shut up. Get out of here.
Yeah,
whatever.
I only smoked once. It was once.
In high school, everyone at least tried it once, right? Most of us.
It wasn't high school. It was college.
Okay, so. College, high school.
Or college, that my entire life, seriously.
I was too damn drunk to smoke.
So how do you drink, Vince?
Drinking, on the other hand, that's a different story altogether.
Well, that's true. That's very true. A fine Irish boy like yourself.
Well, you gotta give me potatoes, Vince. That's right. Give me potatoes and make it some drink.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You know,
into a little bit of an Indian accent there. He went right from potato.
He went right to selling slushies with Apu.
Yeah, I'm Apu, yo.
Thank you. Come again.
Father, you go. It's the worst Irish accent I ever heard.
Yeah, but he does a beautiful
Oscar Mayer Wiener.
He does a beautiful Ronnie Dangerfield, though.
Who does?
He does. Scotty does.
Oh, really? Let's hear it.
Hey, I tell you, I got no respect.
Isn't that good?
Hey, the other night my wife said, honey, take out the garbage. I said, you cooked it, you take it out. Hey, I got the only dog in the neighborhood who begs for Alka-Seltzer. I left dental floss in the kitchen and the roaches hung themselves. I tell you.
This is Chris Moon, I'm a punch in the face. I love that one the most.
Hey, I tell you, Chris Moon, hey, one of these days, pow, right in the kisser.
We're going to play that on the show someday. Or reenact it, you know, recut it.
Recreate it. There you go.
Recreate it because that is a funny bit.
Yeah, she did it for a Z-Talk commercial.
Yes, the cell phone to the dead, now for sale at Z-Talk stores everywhere. But on that note, guys, we got to jet off to our first break. We'll be right back, and we're going to really talk with Vince Wilson about some really cool stuff. Like everything from, well, the booth house, do you name it. But we're going to be right back. You're listening to Z-Talk Live right here on these fine radio networks. UPRN 105.5 FM, Z-Talk Radio Network, Planet Paranormal, and Free Time Radio.
At TreasureForAllUSA.com, we know you don't want to think about it, but Christmas time is coming. Here's just a few things that you can find at TreasuresForAllUSA.com. They got bathroom decor, bassets, birdhouses, blankets, comforters, quilts, candle lamps, children's toys and games, Christmas clocks, collectible dolls, curtains, window panels, crystals, dining room items, living room items, bedroom items, dragons, eagles, Elvis, fairy flag, gang surveillance system, gifts for the whole family, pirates, golf, Halloween stuff, hidden cameras, nanny cams, horses, incense burners, NFL, NASCAR, MLB, mirrors, pepper spray, picture frames, pocket knives, religious bulk items, robot security, self-defense, skulls, swords, tables, tools, unicorns, Victoria Jackson products, Wii accessories, water fountains, Western accents, and that's just a sample of what you'll find at TreasureForAllUSA.com.
Wouldn't you like to receive absolutely free a brand new Chevrolet 6, any model you want? All right, listen to this. Starting tomorrow is a feature of National Drive a Chevrolet Month. One of those big, fine-looking Chevrolet 6s will be given away every day, absolutely free. 30 days, 30 cars, one car awarded every day. All you have to do is to visit any Chevrolet dealer, drive or ride in a Chevrolet car, then down on the entry blank, which the dealer will furnish, the reason why you like the new Chevrolet 6. Remember, in order to enter the contest, you must visit a Chevrolet dealer, get a demonstration, and obtain an entry blank from him. It doesn't matter how many or how few words you use or what kind of writer you are. The best reasons for liking the new Chevrolet, the best in the opinions of the judges, win the free Chevrolet cars. This opportunity is for any person in the United States over 18 years of age. And one day makes you eligible for any of the cars given away from the day you enter throughout the balance of the month. So plan now to go to your Chevrolet dealer tomorrow and enter this contest. Your name may be announced over the radio next Friday night as one of the winners of a new Chevrolet 6.
There's a storm brewing in this country. A storm of apathy towards some of our most historic landmarks, like Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is the fort that saved America. It held the British at bay while George Washington went upriver to Valley Forge. Now it's in danger of being shut down. There are people who are weathering this storm.
This is Barbara Saletti, co-founder of the Fort Mifflin Historic Preservation Group.
This is Anthony Saletti, co-founder of the Fort Mifflin Historic Preservation Group.
But they can't do it alone. They need our help. Go to www.myspace.com/SaveFortMifflin or www.fortmifflin.com. Together, we can make a difference. Let's save Fort Mifflin and turn the tide of apathy.
Station identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
And we We are right back right here on Z-Talk Live on the Z-Talk Radio Network, as well as UPRN 105.5 FM, Free Time Radio, and Planet Paranormal. Boy, and the list will be growing here very shortly of other venues we'll be at. And getting right to it, Vince, what the heck got you into ghosts?
Got me into the radio show or the
ghosts? The ghosts. The whole paranormal ball of wax. What got you started?
Ghosties.
Yeah, about 11 years ago, a friend of mine was doing these paranormal adventurers, you know, not to be compared with the awful show on television, but we were going out to these haunted bridges in Gettysburg and other places like that, and we would walk around and we would have our gadgets that was suggested by, back then, you know, occasional TV specials, not an actual ghost hunting series. And we would go out and try that. And I thought to myself, why are we using these devices? What is the purpose exactly for having these gadgets and these things? And what is the theory behind, you know, their development? So I started to call around. I talked to people from around the country, mentored under people like Troy Taylor, Dale Katzmarek, Lloyd Auerbach, and a few other people around the well known and more experienced than I was. You know, it's really the best way to do it. I mean, what really disgusts me is nowadays people just watch these TV shows and they say, "Oh, this is it. This is easy. I can do this." They never even heard about people that came before.
Mm-hmm. Right? They didn't even do any research on them. They don't even know anything about them and what they've tried and why. Why you're doing what you're doing today because of what they did.
That's right. You know, I really read up a lot on every book I could possibly get my hand on. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just I read everything and watched everything and paid attention. It was a whole year before we even established our own team. It was 3 years before we even had the gall to have any kind of get together. You might call a conference.
Yeah.
You know, we have people now that are, you know, sick, you know, they're not even ghost hunting for 6 months and are starting conferences and stuff like that.
They're still in their paranormal diapers.
That's right. they're soiled paranormal diapers.
That's right. That's right. Now, I got to ask you, right out of the gate, as far as equipment...
All they're gonna have is a really bad rash.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Well, you know, as far as equipment goes, what's better, the old stuff or the new stuff?
Sometimes both. Sometimes the old stuff is the best stuff, and sometimes the new stuff is really handy. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing what used to be called PKE experiments. For example, let's ask the message board right now, anyone out there listening, who's ever hung streamers from their ceiling and put a video camera on that?
The
party streamers that you buy at Party City?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Dollar store, maybe?
Yeah. But,
how about taping those to the ceiling at 2-foot intervals and then putting a video camera to see? Make sure there's no drafts coming from windows or vents, that sort of thing. And watch it. See what happens. See if anything moves through the streamers. Ever even thought of that before?
Yeah, we've done similar things.
Some people use strings.
Yeah, I've done strings. I've never done streamers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, similar things.
I've done baby
like
powder.
That.
I've done.
Yeah.
You know, that... You know, we've done that.
Now, Harry Price, you ever heard of Harry Price before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Anyone who's really serious about paranormal research has heard of Harry Price. He was a 19th and a 20th century researcher. He pioneered many techniques during the 40s. He actually used bowls of mercury to look for
that's
vibration. Now, I don't recommend any of the ghost researchers.
Go ahead, take a sip, kids. It's good for you.
Yeah, rub your eyes with that.
You can do oil and water now. That would work very well.
Yeah, water. Mark Nesbitt out of Gettysburg. He would take two circular donut shaped magnets, put it onto a stick, on a base, and he would draw a white line along both of them, and he would put them negative to negative or positive to positive on this stick so that one would hover over the other and it would look to see if the lines would move from each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. I know that someone either listens to the podcast later or someone right now that's listening is asking themselves, with all this experimentation and all this equipment, why do we have yet, why are we still waiting for the Holy Grail?
Well, the main reason is, you know, part of it is some theories just haven't been really properly applied to paranormal research, and there's just not enough cooperation between teams. Mm-hmm. There's no database for paranormal research. You know, pretty much every other field in the paranormal has some sort of cooperative database.
Sure, UFOs.
But see, here's the thing. My wife says that all the time. She goes, "Why doesn't the paranormal do that?" And I said, "Because the paranormal is very jealous. They're probably one of the most jealous fields I've ever seen in my life. Instead of working, you know, and we always hear this term paranormal unity, and I'm tired of that crap because we don't need to do everything the same, but we need to start working together as a group. We need to start putting our stuff out so everybody can see it and use the techniques and build off of them like they do in every other field. I agree 100%.
You know, I understand paranormal unity to an extent if it stops everybody from this damn bickering. This fighting that's going on, or outing this person for this, or becoming a witch hunt. The paranormal's become one big witch hunt lately.
Yeah, hey, we're going to do this because we'll ruin you. Who cares?
Exactly.
This is just bull crap.
I stand back and I look and I watch, you know, quietly, and I'd like to chime in once in a while when I see crap going on, but I don't, just because I want to be able to use it later, quite honestly. but, because I'm opportunistic that way, you know.
No, you're just a radio show host.
That's
dude.
Right. I sit there and I watch and I read and I load the ammunition of knowledge into my gun.
Yeah, so we gotta continue our show on somehow. So we gotta.
That's right. But I sit there and I watch all the bickering and the fighting going on. What the hell, Vince, ever happened to the simple act of looking for a dang ghost?
I don't know. It's all about being on TV now. You know, it's all about how to become popular. I could have done a ghost tech radio show years ago. I could have just easily. I had a technical know how to stream. In fact, anyone with enough practice can stream audio to the internet. Anyone can
make
a podcast. Yeah, services now that'll do it for free. If you don't mind running a commercial on your website or something.
Yeah, come on now. You don't give away all
the
secrets.
Hey, we run a network, man. Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah, and apparently there's a new one hitting the airwaves too, Scott. Just found out tonight.
But the thing is, guys, the thing is that they're all that's crap. Mm-hmm. you need in order to actually be successful at it, you need a network like Z-Talk. There you go. Is that better? I fix it?
There Much you go. Better.
Thank
there
you, you go. Go. Appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah, thanks a ton. Your check's in the mail.
Yeah, that's right. You need a sponsor or a network or something like that. The point is anyone can do it, but not everyone should.
Well, yeah,
there you go. I agree with that one.
Just because you have an internet connection doesn't necessarily mean that you should be using it for radio. Case in point, Blog Talk.
Yes.
Exactly. Horrible.
I felt like, you guys approached me and said, Vince, you should do a ghost tech show, and I was kind of apprehensive at first, if you remember. The point is, we need to do it. It has to be done.
Well, there's a couple reasons behind why I think it should be done personally. Number one, to share your knowledge, because it does you no good to keep all to yourself when you could pass it on to maybe that young investigator that tunes in and says, holy crap, I never thought about it that way.
That's right.
You know, let's try it this way the next time. And they go out and they do it next time that way. And lo and behold, they learn something new. And that's really the most important part about if you're going to do a radio program. Radio really does three things at once. And let me get my soapbox just for a second, which is really lacking by and large the internet radio. Because, a lot of it is real lackluster. It needs to inform, educate, and entertain all at the same time. All three at once. And some of them have a couple of them down great, but not the third one, or lacking in some aspect where they're not conveying that message they're trying to get out there.
Right.
Because they don't know how. They don't understand how this works, how to do a radio program.
No, here's what the thing is that I think happens the most time, is most of the time people want to do something, but they don't want to put the effort into it. And... And it's the same thing. They want to be famous by doing all this, but they don't want to put the effort in it. They think that it just comes to them or that it's owed to them, and they have to do it. And once again, that's just part of that whole paranormal, everybody trying to be famous type of thing. Instead of actually doing the work and trying to make a good radio show,
I got news.
They think, I got, you know what I mean?
I got news for them, though. I've been doing this for 19 years behind the microphone, and I'm not famous. The chances of you becoming famous in radio are about as good as you being drafted. Scotty, you right now in the current shape you're in, and for, you know, 40 plus years old, you have a better chance of being drafted by the Packers.
Yeah, I could be as their beer boy.
You know what I mean, though? I mean, because there's less slots actually in high-end radio than there is in the NFL.
True, very much true.
You know, so. You know,
but once again, it goes back to being famous, and people just want to do it to be famous, and I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to understand the field and do the field and what makes it cool about ghost hunting, people forget about that because they want to be the famous.
I was going to say,
I am proud to announce that I actually have turned down offers to be on a TV show.
Wow, good deal.
Yes, I have been asked before, and I've turned them down in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
why? You know, why did you do that?
Let me tell you, there's two shows that I would do. I would do a show in which I just host, like, you know, ghost stories. That's harmless. You can't hurt a soul with that, and there's no risk of being corrupted. What corrupts you is the need to perform. What corrupts you is the need to provide a haunted location and ghostly phenomenon. Mm-hmm. That's what corrupts. And the other kind of show is a show that requires me never to have to provide an actual ghost, in which I could have an opportunity to train new investigators. I would do that. But those are the only two exceptions. Anything else, I'm not interested in.
So what do you think? What do you think of Ghost Hunters International then right now?
It's... Yeah, where's the sound effects for puke on this?
Yeah.
Joel just gave you one, so it was good.
There you go. Every time I watch a Ghost Hunter show, quite honestly, this is exactly what I want to do to myself every time I have to watch it. I just want to eat the big brass bullet.
I know, but, I mean, so give us the constructive criticism on it.
Here's the deal, okay? They're mostly harmless to some degree, except they do not acknowledge their predecessors. They do not acknowledge the people who came before them. They do not acknowledge that the places they've gone to have been investigated before.
Right.
You know, these are the main issues with those shows.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the old G.I. Joe cartoon in the 1980s? You know, where they would essentially would blow the hell out of everything in sight, cause massive damage, try to essentially kill one another over and over again in this show. but at the end of every episode, what do they have?
They have a moral of the story.
They have the moral of the story. That's,
you know,
right.
We killed these bastards because they're bad. That's your moral of your story. No, kids, go home and go tell mama.
At the every episode, you would have, like, you know, hey, what's these pills in this medicine cabinet? And it was like, let's try them out and find
out.
Let's
try this blue pill I found in Dad's sock drawer.
Like, roadblock would come up through the window. Don't try those pills, kids. They could kill you, you know. You know, or something like that.
So what you're saying is they need a paranormal moral to the story.
That's right. The end of every episode, it'd be nice if they did a recap. And they said, and this experiment we did was based on the techniques and procedures founded by Lloyd Auerbach in 1980s or something, or the Rye Institute in the 1970s or something like that.
Well, why don't you think they give credit?
Because they don't want people to know that they weren't the ones that invented ghost hunting.
Mm.
People watch these shows, they think Jason Green invented ghost hunting.
Well, all you have to do...
Probably not their fault. It's probably the sci-fi channel.
Well, all you have to do is pick up a Brad Steiger book from the 50s, and there it is.
Yeah, but you know how many ghost hunters don't even know these names?
Yeah. I know, that's just what the sad part of it all is.
Yeah.
But I mean, what about the academy? They're trying to train some new kids. I'm being a devil's advocate on this.
You are, and you're doing a very good job of that. But I thought Stephen Gonzalez personally came off as total douchebag.
Yeah, he does. He seems to be like setting these kids up for, you know,
embarrassment.
Yeah. Yeah, just for the TV instead of trying to really teach them, because you don't see much teaching. You say, now go do this and we'll tell you what you're doing wrong. And instead of telling them why that principle that they're doing right now, why does it work? Why do you think it works? And how should we do it? You know, you talk about the bowl of mercury. I mean, that's like a geophone nowadays. You know what I mean? The same idea is still there. It's just that we're doing it a different way nowadays.
Exactly. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about ghost tech. We're going to talk a little bit more about paranormal media. Even Vince has been in the paranormal media a little bit, but we will be right back after this. In the neighborhood, who you going to call? Ghostbusters! If there's something weird and it don't look good. You're listening to Z-Talk Live right here on these fine radio networks. UPRN 105.5 FM, Z-Talk Radio Network, Planet Paranormal, and Free Time Radio.
Are you ready for some rollicking adventure? In Scotty Roberts' book, The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, join Irish Rabbit, Tam O'Hare, and his young squirrel squire, Horatio McNutt, as they journey through Scotland of the mid-1500s seeking a small child who's been stolen by the fairy folk. Crafty raccoon pirates, conniving noble wolves, conflicted royal foxes and self-serving religious badgers all stand in the way as their quest brings them headlong into high seas action and supernatural intrigue. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare is in bookstores everywhere and at barnesandnoble.com. This hardcover, lushly illustrated chapter book is the first book in the Tam O'Hare series. But hang on to your sabers. Book 2, Tam O'Hare and the Banshee of Ballyglen Morrow, is coming later this year. So swash your buckle and prepare yourself for a historically rollicking, swaggeringly supernatural adventure. Visit tamohare.com to learn more. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila!
Are you wondering if the path that you've chosen is the right one for you? Or would you like to see a glimpse of what the future may hold? Tarot may be able to help you understand better the path that you're on. The cards don't lie, nor do they lead you astray, as they're a vehicle for messages from God, angels, and guides. Have your cards read for you by world-renowned tarot card master Scotty Roberts. To schedule a private reading with Scotty, visit www.tarotbyscotty.com today and find out what the cards may hold for you.
We're the station that beats all the competition, and we'll prove it as soon as we hear any competition.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
whisper some kind of way.
All right, we're right back here on Z-Talk Live. That last commercial we played called Tequila, I love that commercial. I found out I had to throw it on, man. Well, anyhow, before we left, we were talking a little bit about paranormal media, the good, the bad, the ugly. Right now, I have to say the good in paranormal media is definitely still the good old-fashioned book. The bad is, well, unfortunately, Taps. And the ugly is Ghost Lab.
I mean, you're a ghost tech guy. What do you think of their equipment and what they're doing with it?
Actually, you know, I've never seen a single episode of this show.
Oh my
yet.
God, flip on your TV. Come on,
dude.
Be like the rest of us.
Yeah. Sorry, I do not want to be tainted by their evil.
Well, actually, I find their whiteboard pretty impressive.
However, I've been told by a few people that who in the chat room, by the way, is Red Ghost Tech. I know someone said they read my book, but was it Ghost Tech or Ultimate Ghost Hunter? I'm curious.
That's right. You know, have a couple books out there, don't you?
You do.
So why don't you go ahead and push those while we're talking about it?
Yep. I said, Ghost Tech, by the way, will be republished very soon. In a big hardback.
Really? You gonna give me a free copy?
Yeah, of course.
Sweet. I'd love to have a copy. No kidding either. I'd love to.
Yep. And in fact, everyone in chat will get a free copy if Donald Trump buys them for them.
There you go. There you go. No, but no.
Anyway, where was I talking about?
You were talking about your books first.
Ghost Lab is where we were actually.
Right.
I have been told by some people that who watch Ghost Lab that the techniques they use in the show look remarkably like experiments and techniques mentioned in my book series.
So you think that someone maybe picked up a copy and ripped it off?
I haven't watched the episode to confirm it for myself, but that's what I have been told. In particular, Christy ICPIR, who's in the chat room, she says she read Ghost Tech. Now, Christy, do you remember at the end of the book? I was answering a question. Someone asked me once, what would be the ultimate, gadget, the ultimate ghost tech to have, and I wrote the ultimate piece of ghost hunting technology would be a van or bus that you could travel around with a big screen TV that in which you could monitor a house from outside without having to be in the house.
Yeah, they do that. They do that a lot on that show.
Well, didn't Taps kind of start that, though, with that band that they had?
But I tell you, what they do in Ghost Tech, what they do is they actually have two people listening to the recorders that they have on the inside in the van. They also have one of those whiteboards that are hooked up to your laptop so they can, manipulate the EVPs and stuff on the board, which is kind of impressive, I have to tell you. I think it's neat. But yes, it is very similar to what you had. I mean, it is a van that where they can actually run all their recordings, all their video and everything in there and don't even have to be in the building.
Yep.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, part of me thinks that we haven't mastered the old stuff yet. Why are we moving on to the new stuff?
Well, in fact, In fact, one piece of new stuff, not to mention it, that, people, they run into, you're right, Joel. In fact, they run into this new stuff without even thinking about, should I be using it for this aspect of the paranormal?
We haven't even mastered magnetic strips yet in a tape deck. really? Yeah. We haven't.
Yep.
But yet we're moving headlong into something that's unproven even more? Yeah, I don't know. Part of me thinks that we didn't spend enough time learning the old stuff before we make the next leap. We might have overlooked something huge.
Yep, that's right.
Something that might have blown the whole thing wide open.
take for example the Ovilus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's a random number generator that will pick out randomly words from a digital dictionary, right?
I do have to say, though, the Obulus, though, before you get into it too deep, I used one of those a few months back. And when I was by a window, it would say window. When I was by food, it would say food.
Well, here's the thing is, Joel, is that, you know, in the 70s and 80s, parapsychologists used random number generators for psychic experiments. Mm-hmm. So is the obelisk, is it detecting ghosts or is it detecting the psychic activity given off by the investigators?
Really? Oh, so it's an investigator manipulating the outcome.
That's right.
Well, that's almost cooler than the ghost thing, though, when you think about it.
See, I think about that all the time.
Yeah, some scientists have demonstrated that human observation actually affects reality. This is the founding principle behind the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Really? So our minds have the power to manipulate the things around us.
To some degree, yes.
Really?
It's usually a very small degree, but it does happen.
Do you think that there was a point in human evolution where we did have psychokinesis powers?
Unless you see cave drawings with Jedi Knights in it, I can't.
No, I'm not even kidding. I'm not kidding because I've seen apparatuses like at UCLA to where they'd strap that thing on your head and then they'd move the pencil with their mind.
Well, here's the deal is that you know, a lot of people think that's. Careful with your terminology, all right?
Okay, I'm very careful.
Analyze that for a second.
I'm very careful.
Some scientists actually went out and wrote down the equations that would take for a human being to push a pencil across the table. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, the equations actually exist. You have, at any given moment, about 8 volts of electricity running through your body. That's it. That's all it takes to, you know, send a signal to your nervous system. It's a very refined, organic feature of the human body that's been refined over millions of years. Now, in order to push a pencil across the table, even if you were to shoot like a laser point beam of energy out of your forehead and push that pencil a couple of inches, would require about 9 volts of energy. So in order to push a pencil even an inch would kill you.
Huh. Interesting.
So, sorry.
So, what do you think, Scotty?
I think the mind in itself can do things. And, you know, I mean, I've always said that even with my use of dowsing rods, that, you know, there's 3 ways of doing it. Because if you don't have direct contact in it, 1, either you're faking it, 2, either your mind's making that move, or 3, it's a ghost. And if it's a ghost or my mind, that's pretty freaking cool.
I think if
it's a person faking it, get the hell out of the field.
I almost think the mind thing is more impressive than ghost.
I do too, though. That's what I said. I'm going to use it for better things.
Here's the deal. Instead of projecting energy, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle says that your observation affects probability. The probable outcome of an event to happen. Everything has the potential of happening due to statistics. I mean, anything literally can happen. There's a statistical probability of every atom in your body simultaneously disappearing from the chair you're sitting in and reappearing on a beach in Hawaii.
I'm going to try that right now. Come on.
It's not working.
The only problem is that the statistical probability is outside the lifetime of the universe.
Dang it.
So it's never going to happen.
So never going to happen.
But how do we know the universe's lifetime?
It's a guesstimation, I guess. You know, they estimate it's like 5 billion more years.
Five million more years?
5 to 6 billion more years. But it would take a quadrillion years.
Well, what happened? Wait. This is intriguing me a little bit. If the universe, you're talking about space in its entirety, right?
Yes.
Destroys what's left there.
What do you mean?
Once space is gone, okay, the universe is no longer with us. Everything is gone. There's no space anymore. What's going to take up that empty space?
No. The general theory among scientists is that we're going to have a big crush. That all the energy in the universe will burn out. It will stop expanding. And everything will start being pulled back in on itself. Back into the singularity that it originally was before the Big Bang. And then it'll blow up again.
You're saying that every star in the universe is created by one singular bang.
That's what many scientists think right now.
So
big bank
there. What was there? Okay, it must have been one hell of a big rock.
Oh, wait for a second. I got to answer this question.
You're leaving me hanging here.
Go ahead, Scott. Repeat the question again.
Come on. You're doing a freaking radio show here, man. This is not Romper Room.
Yeah,
no kidding.
This is what this person wrote. She's making a deaf person on an investigation, and she wants me to recommend an experiment.
Yeah, it's called the bionic ear.
Yeah. Yep. Tell her to close her eyes and let the ghost guide her away from the wall.
All kidding aside, that is a great experiment.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I totally agree. I will Chrissy, write me at vince@ghosttech.net and I'll answer that question, better answer the show, but not during the show.
Or call him.
Or you can call in live, 262.
That's right, yeah, absolutely.
262-672-2488 or 262-ORBBITT to be on the show with Vince.
Go ahead. And throw that in chat room there, Scotty, so everyone can see that. I'm kind of working with the broadcaster here at the moment, loading some stuff up. But no, my question was, I guess, you're not the guy to really answer. Come on, you're not the NASA scientist here. None of us are.
I have a background in I studied physics in college, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool. That's good because I have a degree in applied science. The problem is, what existed before the Big Bang is actually unknown. No one knows.
Technically, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. The Big Bang happened. It was a mass release of energy. The Big Bang didn't necessarily create the entire universe. Now,
that's true.
There's also theories out there. There is multiple Big Bangs.
That's correct. Yep. There's a multiverse, not a universe.
Mm-hmm. There's also the stack theory of different universes.
That's right.
You know,
there's also different kinds of different universes. There are universes that exist on different dimensional planes.
Yeah.
That are outside of our universe. Exactly. There's universes that are stacked on top and on the bottom.
It's like when I wrote my paper when I was graduating from school, I called it the apartment complex theory, and you probably might have heard this. Other people ripped it off from me.
No, never heard it.
Scotty has. Let's just say, Vince, we live in the third floor. Nessie's on the 8th floor. Bigfoot's on the 14th floor. Ghosts are on the 7th floor. And we never see each other. Ever. You know, we kind of know each other there, you know, because we hear each other rattling about in our apartments. But we never see each other unless we get in common areas like the Coke machine, the parking garage, places like that, to where we're going to run into each other.
Hmm.
You know?
Yep.
You know, so how do we know when you're in the cemetery that you see a ghost? How do you know the ghost you're seeing isn't hitting his buddy saying, "Holy crap, I just saw a ghost"?
True, yeah. And you're talking about us.
Actually, yeah. Super string theory is up to 72 dimensions, Dave. Answer a question in the chat room real quick.
No, but I mean, how do we know what we're chasing are even ghosts?
That's right. You're absolutely correct. There's a theory that there exist higher dimensions outside of length, width, and height. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get them confused with other universes. These are simply higher dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just as inaccessible to us as our alternate universes are.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want there to be an afterlife. I don't want to think that this is it. Quite honestly. You know, that when we die, this is it. We just poof, gone.
That would suck.
That would suck. Because, I mean, think of all the banks I could have robbed. Think of all the stuff I could have... If there's no consequences...
And all the boyfriends named Bubba that you could have been.
No, but what I'm saying is if there's no consequences...
You would have been caught because your fat butt couldn't get out of the bank fast.
That's true. Anymore. That's true. Yeah. I'd be waddling away from the scene. We saw him waddling northbound.
Yeah.
we had shots into that ass.
No, but, I mean, it's a really deep discussion.
Hey, grab him. He can make us $62,000.
Yeah, grab him. Although I can make more than that. I got more than 1 gallon, I'm sure of it.
Grab it. That could be rich at $128,000.
You could. It would solve that problem you were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
You'd be done. Cool. Well, there you go.
I'll be up in 6 hours.
Well, you know what's really great is you live in we live in the Midwest, which is actually the fattest part of the country.
Hey, by the way, guys, where are you two planning on being in the third weekend of July?
In Harpers Ferry.
Oh,
but we're going to talk about that when we come back. We got to do a little bit of business, top of the hour break, but we will be right back. A little more Ghost Tech with Vince Wilson tonight. We're having a great time. Editor-in-Chief of Ghost Tech Magazine. Don't go anywhere because we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Z-Talk Live right here on these fine radio networks. UPRN 105.5 FM, Z-Talk Radio Network, Planet Paranormal, and Free Time Radio.
Inspirational, and on occasion, controversial. Our listening audience will also have the opportunity to interact with the show hosts and guests through live chat and call-in capabilities. You can't be left out of the loop. Tune into all our live shows once, and you'll never turn your computer off again. Z-Talk Radio on your computer dial. Your healthy addiction.
And we are back, everybody. Z-Talk Live right back at you. Hey, do you guys enjoy the zombie ghost train?
I love the Zombie Ghost.
Isn't that a great band? From Down Under, if I had any kind of accent to be able to pull that off at all. But before we're leaving, we were talking...
It is not the tumor.
It's not the tumor. Go to the chopper! Now!
Now! Now!
Now is not a chopper.
Yeah. Go!
Just do it now and do it later.
You son of a gun.
No. Hear me now, understand me later.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I'm the governator.
I am the radionator.
Yeah.
Hear me now, understand me later. It is not a tumor.
Not a tumor.
I don't think Scotty's ever heard my Scooby and Shaggy impression.
I don't think so. Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
You haven't heard Scooby and Shaggy impression?
I've not heard it. It's not a scabby.
All right, ready?
Go ahead.
Zoink, Scoob. Like, I think this place is haunted. Oh, no.
That's awesome.
Bro.
That's great, man. That's funny. That's funny. And we are in no way associated with Hanna-Barbera.
Definitely sound like Casey Kasem, that's for sure.
He did, didn't he?
You know, you also used to do a voice for Robin on the Super Friends.
Yes, he did.
Oh, man. That was awesome. That always freaked me out, though. Robin. Robin and Batman always kind of freaked me out. Because why is a grown man sliding down a fire pole with a young boy?
It's target practice. You know,
I just never got it.
Well, then that's your own fault, dude.
But, I mean, it kind of creeps me out.
If you never get it, man, then you better look for it somewhere else because that's a personal problem, young man.
There you go. That's what it is, too. That yeah. There you go. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah, she was full. Never. No.
No. It reminds you of a joke. Joel, you know that, Scotty, do you know Joel has never heard of the Aristocrats joke?
He's never heard of it? Ever?
No.
Seriously, ever. Dude, never heard it?
No.
All right, Scotty, Joel, see, there's this guy, a producer, right? He's a talent agent. He works in an office.
Oh, no. You can't do that here.
Oh, I can't do the joke on the show, really?
No, it is. No.
Oh, okay.
We can do it off the air.
Is it really that bad?
Yeah.
It's that bad.
Is it on YouTube?
No.
It's not on YouTube?
I can't have it on YouTube. Yeah, it's too much. Yeah.
Yeah, YouTube won't even play it. Nope, nobody.
It's that Seriously. Bad? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I had no idea.
There's some versions of it have like headless rats and Zeppelin races. And
no.
Like oh, sure. Sure, and probably the funniest one is when I saw Bob Saget do it. So.
Oh, man, he is a nasty bastard live.
Oh, he's awesome.
Oh, my God.
He is really funny.
Kill your dog,
and to have him know that
leprechaun.
He was like America's Funniest Videos and all this in Full House and how really he's one of the dirtiest comics out there. He's awesome. He's so funny.
I know. I'll kill your dog. I'll shine your shoes. I'm a leprechaun. Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah. I saw him on HBO and he had a comedy routine. And it's like, dude, this cannot be the dad from Full House. Tell me that Danny is not doing this.
Oh, he always did it. He always did it before. And that's why he always says in interviews with it that he never understood how he got cast. Because he was been this way his whole life. He's been a dirty comic his whole life, and he never understood it.
He just never understood how they called him up and said, yeah, we're going to portray you as the father of these young girls.
Exactly.
Even though every other word is that word out of your mouth, and you like to talk about fornication with dead animals.
The only joke he actually doesn't like is one done on the Olsen twins. He doesn't like jokes about the dirty jokes about the Olsen twins and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, when they had a roast, Bob Saget got roasted and he told some dirty Olsen twin jokes and he really got upset about that.
Really?
Yeah,
really? For real? Wow. Yeah. They're so full of ammunition, though. I mean, look at them. They could go all night on Olsen twin jokes.
Hey, dude, you don't want to get Bob Saget mad at us, so we're not going to do that.
There you go,
here.
Yeah. Yeah, making Bob mad is like pissing off the Don. You just don't do
it's
it.
It's not good. It's not good because he's got a lot of comebacks. And he does the Aristocrats very good.
And you know what? He has
But you know who does the best?
Who?
It's, what's that guy? I just talked about him earlier. What's his name? The guy. He did the voice of Iago the parrot.
Gilbert Gottfried.
What's his name?
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
Gottfried does it best.
He does it awesome, too.
Well, getting back to the subject at hand.
The aristocrats.
You know, barring the aristocrats or aristocats or whatever you want to call it.
No, the aristocrats.
Getting back to what the crowd came for. Before we left, we were talking about Harper's Ferry, and you have bought a very historic house, haven't you?
That's correct. I will be
your curator, rather.
Of the I'm going to put the address up on the chat room now. The Booth House, otherwise known as the Haunted Cottage of Harper's Ferry. And for decades now, it has gained the reputation of being the most haunted location in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia.
And why is that?
Well, it belonged to the Booth family. John Wilkes Booth, it's his family home here in Harper's Ferry. And we also know that when John Brown was hung at the gallows in Charlestown.
You mean hanged? He's not, he doesn't, no, never mind.
Yes.
Get your mind out of that.
I thought it was going to be, I thought he was going to say, we shut that portal where he's hung at the gallows. No.
he was hung well at the gallows.
Yes. Yes, double well, in fact.
Hung low, sweet chariot.
He was hung by a guy named Dick Hung Low. He was a Chinese immigrant.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But the Booth House was the family home. He actually stayed there when John Brown was hanged at the gallows in Charlestown up the street. And he was probably on his way to this house from from D.C. after assassinating Abraham Lincoln.
So after he knocked off Lincoln, he was on his way back to your pad.
That's right, but a fire and a few bullets stopped him.
Yeah, and a broken leg. That's
right. Okay, but here's the thing, and Ghost Lab just did this too, since we're tying in a both here for you. They say John Wilkes Booth didn't die, and ended up in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Of Texas.
Yes, no, seriously. That's the theory out there that he didn't really die and he changed his name and he went to move and lived in Texas.
Well, you know my theory on conspiracy theories. It's a great Benjamin Franklin once said, the best way to keep a secret is between three people if two of them are dead.
True. Very true. Very true.
I just do not buy into conspiracy theories.
There's only one conspiracy theory I'm willing to buy into, and that's
JFK. And you're going to say JFK.
Yep. Only because Congress came out and said there is evidence here to support the conspiracy.
But there's a lot of evidence to prove that John Wilkes Booth was continuing to live, and
maybe he did. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any evidence to the effect of that. But there again, record keeping might not have been the greatest in those days. I mean, this is a time when you could really just change your name in an instant. Leave town and there you are, you're someone else. But you got to remember, he was the Tom Cruise of his day.
That's right.
A new term was created, by the way,
this past weekend when Scared was with me in Baltimore.
Okay.
Well, what's that?
When you're misusing an EMF detector at a haunted location, you're only EMFing around.
Wow. You guys really had a lot of time on your hands, didn't you?
Was somebody doing K2 stuff there? Is that what you were talking about? So what do you think of the K2 meter, then, if we're going to bring that up?
Sucks.
Personally, I think it's a piece of crap. The K2 meter is a waste of time, and it's way too sensitive to radio frequencies. It's an EMF detector, not an RF detector. It can detect a cell phone from 50 feet away. That means if you're investigating a house in the living room and a car drives by and they're using their cell phone, your K2 meter will detect it.
Garage door opener.
Set it off. Cordless telephone set it off. Stereo set it off.
Walkie talkie set off really good because I faked out a lot of investigators just keying up my walkie.
Ron Popeil's Mr. Microphone sets it off.
Yeah. From KTEL, yes.
Yes, exactly. I heard a certain box was being powered by that, actually.
That's correct.
You know, I have a Sperry EMF, meter. And I was in Sloss Furnace, and I had one with my K2, and I still got the baseline 0.3, 0.30 everywhere, you know what I mean? Just same readings. And this person kept saying, oh, the K2 is going off. And I'm like going, if there was true activity, my meter would go off too. And it just because your K2 is there doesn't mean that there's activity. And they kept saying, no, there's activity. I go, no, there's nothing going on because there's nothing going on. Mm-hmm. I've had... and he puts it towards the metal, and the metal just makes it go. And he go, I said, so you're telling me there's a ghost on the metal? And then I put my meter next to it, and he's got 0.2, 0.3, nothing.
I've never used one to any success.
No, and I after that, I was like, K2 stinks, man. I couldn't stand ever thinking about even buying one or even looking at it, because I don't, after seeing it in use right next to the one that I had, I'm like, oh, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. What do you think of the Melmeter?
The Melmeter is not that bad of a device. It does exactly what it's said to do. It kills two birds with one stone. I particularly fond of the thermocoupler thermometer attached to it, which is very accurate.
The only thing that I could ever see with the Melmeter, and Scotty's got one, and this is my only exposure. Yes, I have a Melmeter too.
I can think of Alice and kissing my grits. So go ahead.
Well, kiss my grits.
Well, the only exposure I've had to it is very limited, and if you have the probe for the thermometer bent down, it will read the device rather than reading the actual true air temperature. That was the only thing that I ever ran into it, where I kind of thought, wow, that needs to be longer, the probe that sticks out of there.
Yeah, I agree. It would be nice if you could artificially extend it.
But I look at it, I mean, if you keep it out and away from the thing, it measures. You can actually measure a cold spot that's right there, which, you know, you normally can't do.
Yeah.
Or if you're ghost hunters, you can spray your RF thermometer, and you can read it across the room what the temperature is.
I'm a big believer in redundancy. Like, I carry two thermometers, I carry two EMFs, I carry two of really everything. Because I never want to rely on just one piece of equipment of that type to tell me everything, because you never know. It could be malfunctioning right at that moment. You just never know. Weirder things have happened.
Exactly.
You know, so I kind of carry two.
Yep, and then there was silence.
Because Joel carries two.
I do. I'm very blessed that way. Yes, I'm double hung. I'm a big fan of double hung windows.
No, I have two, and I have like multiple thermometers. You set them in different places, remote ones. You know, you have IRs are fine if you're measuring a spot. You know, and you can't measure in the middle of the air. You know, if you're actually measuring a chair, those work fine. You know,
I have over 8 EMF meters. At least 8 EMF meters.
Which one do you find the best?
You know, we use the natural EM tri-field meter, which is great. You know, if you use it properly, there's quite a bit of rules you have to deal with when you actually use that. But I also am fond of the elf meter, elf zone meter, which is
is that from the Lord of the Rings?
What's that?
Is that from the movie Lord of the Rings? The elf meter. Look at that elf. We're metering right. Him at 12 stone.
And that's what powers it. There's little elves inside.
That's right. It's exactly what powers a Mac too. Did you know that?
I thought it was granola.
Well, I always thought it was just a squirrel in a cage in there, and you had to give him a little granola every now and again. Come on, little guy.
Well, that's why they're crappy, because there's still places to go to the bathroom in here. There you go.
Yeah. That's why they're all pissy, man. Come on.
Squirrel droppings. Yep.
Come on. That's right. That's why they burn out so quickly. But getting back to it, I got to tell you guys right up front, I'm a skeptical believer. I believe that there's something there. I don't know exactly what. And after all these years of doing this, I still don't know what. And a lot of me thinks to myself, my God, with all the people beating the bush, so to speak, shouldn't we have any type of credible evidence as bulletproof by now?
Well, there's a theory out there that we should hope is not true. Because if it's true, it'll be 100 to 200 years before we ever are able to confirm it, because technology would have to advance significantly in order to test this theory. That is that ghosts exist in a higher dimensional space.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, we're screwed.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm starting to think that there's something to that, because with all the hundreds of, you know, there are easily over 100,000 groups in America. Easy. Every town's got one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you would have thought that something would have come out by now.
I remember when I first started doing this, it was like really people thought that was amazing. That's what I did. They thought it was amazing or stupid, but you know, they had a really strong opinion on it. But now when I tell people what I do, a lot of people say, oh, my cousin does that.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows somebody that's a ghost hunter now, or a paranormal investigator. I prefer paranormal investigator, but I kind of use that with caution because in my mind, a true paranormal investigator does it all. UFOs, Bigfoot, the whole gamut.
I could use paranormal researcher.
You know, that's just me, though. I'm just old school that way. You know, where a paranormal investigator was like someone like Harry Price, Brad Steiger.
The reason why we don't have the Holy Grail right now is because anything we have cannot be reproduced.
No, therefore it's not even evidence. Evidence right. is only reproduced in the laboratory over and over again. That's evidence. We're only collecting data.
Yeah.
You know, really, at the end of the day.
So that's the reason why that the true skeptics out there don't believe anything that we come across. They can't believe the EVP that we got at the rec center.
I think we should book the Amazing Randy on the show. How does that sound to you there, Scotty?
That's fine. We could talk to him about it.
We should bring that up. Bring Vince with us. We could all interview him. But we got to run off the break. We're a little bit over on the FM break. I do apologize to our FM station, but let's get there right now. We'll be right back with Vince Wilson. We'll be talking more about all the great stuff he has going on. You're listening to Z-Talk Live right here on these fine radio networks. UPRN 105.5 FM, Z-Talk Radio Network, Planet Paranormal, and Free Time Radio.
Are you wondering if the path that you've chosen is the right one for you? Or would you like to see a glimpse of what the future may hold? Tarot may be able to help you understand better the path that you're on. The cards don't lie, nor do they lead you astray, as they're a vehicle for messages from God, angels, and guides. Have your cards read for you by world-renowned tarot card master Scotty Roberts. To schedule a private reading with Scotty, visit www.tarotbyscotty.com today and find out what the cards may hold for you.
I'm a very lucky boy. I've got a placebo pop. And I'm a very lucky girl. I've got a placebo pop. All of the kids in the neighborhood say Tootsie Roll Pops are triple good. Triple good.
Triple good. Sure, because... One, on the outside there's a delicious hard candy. Two, on the inside there's a chewy, chocolatey Tootsie Roll center. And three, a Tootsie Roll Pop has that extra special flavor-giving goodness because only a Tootsie Roll Pop is two candies in one pop.
And you remind your mom to buy the Tootsie Roll Pop party pack. 10 delicious pops in assorted flavors. And look, there's a gamer puzzle on the back, too. So remember, all of the kids in the neighborhood say Tootsie Roll Pops is triple good, triple good. You'll love Tootsie Roll Pops.
At TreasureForAllUSA.com, we know you don't want to think about it, but Christmas time is coming. Here's just a few things that you can find at TreasuresForAllUSA.com. AIs, bathroom decor, bath sets, birdhouses, blankets, comforters, quilts, candle lamps, children's toys and games, Christmas clocks, collectible dolls, curtains, window panels, crystals, dining room items, living room items, bedroom items, dragons, eagles, Elvis, fairy flag, game surveillance system, gifts for the whole family, pirates, golf, Halloween stuff, hidden cameras, nanny cams, horses, ensign, incense burners, NFL, NASCAR, MLB, mirrors, pepper spray, picture frames, pocket knives, religious bulk items, robot security, self-defense, skulls, swords, tables, tools, unicorns, Victoria Jackson products, Wii accessories, water fountains, Western accents, and that's just a sample of what you'll find at TreasureForAllUSA.com.
We're skating up a good time on your favorite radio station.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
I feel so bad, I've got a worried mind. I'm so lonesome all the time.
All right, and we're back. I got a question for both you guys who are coming out of break. We're talking about it. We're talking about the Amazing Randy and being a little skeptical and a little skeptic yourself. If you're a skeptic, why do you continue to do this?
Good question. I'm looking, you know, like I said, I'm a skeptical believer. I believe. I just am real cautious.
Yeah, but what are you trying to get out of it?
I really do approach it from the science point of it. Why are they here? What is going on? What is making this phenomenon? Quite honestly, I want there to be life after death. I don't want to think for one second this is it. I really don't.
I personally have had experiences. I just want to, you know, and I'm curious enough to actually feel like that, you know, I want to hopefully one day collect enough evidence to prove that ghosts exist.
Yeah, I mean, I've had experiences too that make me really think that, you know, I've seen ghosts for my own very own eyes. But the problem is even though I've seen these ghosts or I had a great personal experience, I can't show the world my personal experience.
Why not?
Well, how are you supposed to show a personal experience?
No, but I mean, how you've had great EVPs in your life, yeah. You've had, you know, you've had some data that you've come across that's good.
I have.
Why not show it? Why not show it? Why not put it out there?
I guess, you know what? That's a great question. I have some absolutely blockbuster EVP. I got some great photos. I got great video, but I never show anyone it.
Why?
I guess maybe deep down inside, I this is going to sound horrible, but I'm a little selfish because I actually had evidence stolen from me by a guy that travels the country in a Winnebago. And that really soured me of ever wanting to share it anymore.
Gosh, I wonder who that is.
You know, because next thing you know, I hear my EVP all over national radio.
Right. And but see, isn't that what we started out the show with tonight? On the fact that the people that want to be famous are going to take it, and that's why
this
field is not growing.
But if I don't put it out there, they can't steal it.
I understand that. But then it goes right back. We're in that catch 22 here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're into the fact that why not try new things? Why not, you know, give people the data and help them out? Why not try this all? Because I think all of us that stay in it and that will be in it after the Fed is over really are looking for those answers.
Well, yeah, I mean, this incident happened way before the fad.
Right, and it will, but I'm hoping after the fad that the real investigators will be able to work together and create a database and be able to actually do this in a better form than we are right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I my personal opinion is I don't care what kind of bullcrap award ceremony you plan to throw. You're not going to bring them any closer. The only thing that appears to me that these individuals, this is my own commentary, my views and opinions expressed are only mine, do not necessarily reflect Scotty Urban's. I think that what they're doing, quite honestly, is a sham.
Yeah, I can see your point of view. I mean, I understand that. I mean, it doesn't, I don't see where it's going to help anybody. But I see where sharing, you know, like Vince's is technical, you know, craft and working the theories of the, you know, I mean, basically what we're doing now is all back off of what others have done. And we're just doing it in different ways. But, you know, Vince helping people out, Vince trying to teach, you know, other teachers that have been out there a lot of years, like yourself, Joel, teaching me who've not been in the field that long, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Teaching us where to go. I mean, that's what it's about. You know, that's where you're going to find the answers.
I would like to elaborate on that, if I may.
Yeah.
You know, here's another aspect of the paranormal that's actually going wrong, is that there's lots of team leaders, even established ones, but ones that are mentors, ones that are good paranormal researchers are actually doing something wrong now, and that is that they're not growing, or evolving as researchers. They're still stagnant, as you know, doing the same techniques they've been doing for 20 years. And one of the biggest things they're not changing is how they train new investigators. You know, many paranormal researchers in this country, they've become content with the same sort of techniques, training new researchers and keeping them on their team.
I know, but it doesn't work, though.
Whatever that is, and then but not training new team leaders. Usually when someone goes off to join a new team or start their own team, they become resentful of that.
Yeah, but you have to admit that the techniques that we're currently training people don't work.
Some of them do and some of them don't.
If it worked, we would have evidence.
And I'm talking about specific techniques.
But then again, Joel, it's the same thing. We do have credible EVPs.
We have data in your house. We have data.
And it's the stuff we've done right now.
But I cannot recreate that EVP.
Well, then why are you in the field? That's my point. Then get out. Because if you can't recreate it and you don't think it's something, then why continue trying to get it?
Because you're not going to get it
unless you form the greatest lab in the face of the earth and have ghosts come into your lab. You'll never have I do it.
What I'm trying to say is we got to be continually pushing the envelope. Because experimentation is the engine that drives this field.
But we haven't done, you just mentioned earlier in the show, you said that why try all the new things?
Absolutely nothing wrong. See, the problem is I don't believe that we've mastered the old first, because how can we understand the new if we haven't mastered the old?
Right, but how can you, I mean, we're trying to, I guess we're talking semantics, but it's like, why go for it? I mean, why try anything new when you know, unless you get it in a lab, it's not going to be there? I mean, there's got to be a point where you finally say, hey, this is good enough for me to say that I believe there's ghosts because of it.
Do I believe there's ghosts? Absolutely, I do.
All right, guys, what I was trying to say earlier was not that about the techniques or EVP or what evidence or what is the evidence or whatever. It was what do we all agree on? We're disagreeing right now, but what do we agree on is that, that there are problems out there.
Oh yeah,
and that there could be better ways of doing this, and we're optimistic skeptics. Now, if we want our beliefs to take hold, if we think that we have the best way of doing paranormal research, and it's not what's on television, our focus, one of our biggest focuses has to be training the next generation of team leaders.
Mm-hmm.
The next generation of researchers that are going to lead this country into the proper way to research the paranormal. And you know what the proper way is? It's not techniques or psychics or technology or theory or anything like that. It's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think a lot of times common sense goes out the window when we want to try to be famous.
Yeah. If it's about results. What works that gets results? Like Joel said, repeatable results. What works that gets repeatable results? That's what it's got to be our focus. The right combination of things that we can put together that will get repeatable results. If it's a Ouija board, go for it. If it's an EMF meter combined with a digital thermometer, go for that. If it's, sticking pencils in your ears and sitting on an upside-down bar stool, not me, but it might work for somebody else.
I guess the question I have for you, Vince, is does one EVP that you catch at one house get you any closer to finding out the real truth?
Yes.
And how so?
It's accumulated data.
Okay.
Accumulated data. What we do is compile enough information together that one day we could say, look at all this.
I mean, wouldn't it be great, if legitimate science took us seriously?
Some do.
And then there's guys like Randy that don't.
But by and large, traditional science thumbs their nose at the paranormal. By and large. Not all of them. I don't want to say all of them, but by and large, they do. They thumb their... Because they can't... That's something they can't control.
True.
Yep, that is true. You're absolutely correct.
And so you got to find that, almost that silver bullet to where they got no choice after that but to take notice.
Yep. But that's what we have to do. We just have to focus right now on trying every possible angle.
Well, I mean, can you imagine, though, if we had the same funding NASA does for paranormal? Could you imagine that, though?
Yes.
to the ghost jet.
Yeah, wouldn't that be wonderful though if they put the same effort into learning
ghost jet?
Wouldn't that be interesting if they put the same effort into discovering what we have in our own world, you know, right here on Earth, before we move on to the next?
All right, look at exactly what you're talking about. They, because scientists are hypocrites sometimes. You know, what did they? Are you familiar with the subatomic particle called the neutrino? You ever heard of that
mm-hmm.
before?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it took to discover that?
No.
All right. Now, here's scientists totally dismiss the aspect of ghosts, right? Mm-hmm. They say that there's no way to prove it, it's not repeatable, that sort of thing. And yet, here they come up with this particle called the neutrino, which has almost no mass. If you built a lead block that was 100 miles thick, a neutrino would pass right through it without hitting a single subatomic particle in that entire solid mass. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. how super low in density it is. So what they did is they dug down into the Earth 4 miles, built a 10 million gallon tank filled with high super sensitive light sensors. The hope that one day a neutrino would fly through the Earth into the Earth's crust and jump into this pool of water and just do the right reaction in order to get caught up by these light sensors and demonstrate that neutrinos actually exist. That's the button they
wow.
had to use.
That seems very, very far-fetched.
But it worked.
Yeah, I mean, to even think that, to even, yeah, of course, yeah, it absolutely did work. But, I mean.
So here's higher dimensional space, right? Now, you're talking about risks. Would you risk your life to prove that ghosts exist?
it's either risk your life to prove that ghosts exist or become one.
All right,
it's kind of a win-win, isn't it? You kind of find out either way.
Let's say you had to build a machine, right? That would prove that ghosts exist. It would actually manifest a ghost at will, but there was a 20% chance that it would blow up your city.
Wow.
Would I do it? Yes.
Yes, but let me leave town first.
Huh?
But let me leave town first.
No, I would do it.
Now, yeah, 20% chance. Now, think about it. Have you ever heard of, are you familiar with the super colliding, superconducting, particle accelerator.
Yeah, they're going to make a black hole.
Supposed to blow up the world.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to make a black hole next.
Yes, they're testing for. Everybody has heard that part of the story, but you know how the black hole was going to be created?
With the super collider, isn't it?
Yeah, that's collider. But what was the theory that they were trying to prove?
Go ahead, Vince. You're the guest.
I'll let you say it, Vince, because I already know, but you go ahead and say it because you're the guest on the show today.
That's right.
Anyway, they were trying to prove the existence of higher dimensional space. Mm-hmm. And what they were doing is they would shoot 2 photons around this conductor, the super collector, which cost like $100 billion to make. It's 5 miles in diameter.
Right.
It's like 20 feet underground in certain parts. It requires liquid helium to cool these superconducting magnets that wrap around the entire thing. It has the heart of it is a 10-story building, and they shoot these like photons at each other around this conductor near the speed of light, in hopes that the energy from the impact will warp space-time enough to prove the existence of higher dimensional space. The risk is that, you know, a side effect of this would create subatomic black holes. In fact, they have to create these black holes in order to prove the existence. But they say that, oh, don't worry, because they'll pop out of existence in less than a second. Hopefully.
Wow, hopefully, yeah. But there's a chance they're going to hang around and suck up everything around us.
That's right. True. If they hit any matter, they'll start consuming the matter and never
well,
stop.
Well, we have a minute left of our normal talk here with Vince before we move into sports. Vince, go ahead and plug everything you got going on.
All right. Hey, guys, if you're want to investigate a really cool haunted place, it opens up on February 1st, and reservations are now on sale. If you're interested in investigating the legendary, historic, haunted place that is the Booth House, go to thehauntedcottage.com. That's www.thehauntedcottage.com. I'll be there to greet you when you come and visit.
And in July, I'll be there.
Yeah, in July, I'll be there, too. Yeah. You know, and so will Joel, and so will Scotty, and the other Scotty.
Yes, we all will be there.
Yep, they will be there at Harpers Ferry, West Virginia.
And Todd Bates.
We're waiting for Scotty Roberts is holding us up.
That's right. Todd Bates will be there, as well as Eric Altman from Beyond the Edge Radio.
Yep, he'll be there. Yeah, a few other paranormal guests from around the country will be there, and they will be lending support to the Supernatural Seminar. Unlike all those rip-off ghost conferences out there that have done nothing but TV show celebrities and charge $150 a person, the Supernatural Seminar will be only $25.
Yes, you're going to other spectrum of radio celebrities.
Yes. Big fat guys. But see, by then, Joel, you and I will be worth $275,000.
That's right.
So that's where we're going. So.
But we got the whole building. I had to put some, reinforcements up in the upper.
There you go. But we got to get
just
off.
You can't have us investigating on the same floor.
No, that's it. We'll destroy your joists. Your floor joists will be gone. But on that note, us destroying floors, we got to get the break. And when we come back, sports.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital. To rock
around,
that's right,
on time.
It's tricky, right. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around, that's right, on time. It's tricky. It's tricky, 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 tricky. It's tricky to rock around, that's right, on
time. You're listening to Z-Talk Live right here on these fine radio networks. UPRN 105.5 FM. Z-Talk Radio Network. Planet Paranormal. And Free Time Radio.
There's a storm brewing in this country. A storm of apathy towards some of our most historic landmarks, like Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is the fort that saved America. It held the British at bay while George Washington went upriver to Valley Forge. Now it's in danger of being shut down. There are people who are weathering this storm.
This is Barbara Saletti, co-founder of the Fort Mifflin Historic Preservation Group.
This is Anthony Saletti, co-founder of the Fort Mifflin Historic Preservation Group.
But they can't do it alone. They need our help. Go to www.myspace.com/SaveFortMifflin or www.fortmifflin.com. Together, we can make a difference. Let's save Fort Mifflin and turn the tide of apathy.
My son is 15 years old. He's a big football fan, you know. And I guess it was about a week or so after the Super Bowl. And I remember I wanted to use the bathroom. You know, he was in there.
Johnny, you in there?
Dad, I'm taking a shower, all right?
He's been in there forever. So I went in anyway. And
what the fuck?
There were cork all over the floor. He was taking a shower, all right. With champagne. And it wasn't even French.
This father is not alone. Today, millions of adolescents, influenced by what they see on TV, have a serious showering problem.
Yeah, I was up to 3 showers a day. I didn't care. Dom Perignon, Great Western, even Miller High Life.
That's beer.
Yeah, but that's the champagne of bottled beer.
Did you ever drink it?
No, it tastes terrible. Ah, but showering in it, man, you can't beat it. I felt just like Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. Only sticky.
Talk to your kids. Tell them that showering in champagne is stupid and wasteful unless you're making $6 million a year.
Ready for some rollicking adventure? In Scotty Roberts' book, The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, join Irish Rabbit, Tam O'Hare, and his young squirrel squire, Horatio McNutt, as they journey through Scotland of the mid-1500s seeking a small child who's been stolen by the fairy folk. Crafty raccoon pirates, conniving noble wolves, conflicted royal foxes and self-serving religious badgers all stand in the way as their quest brings them headlong into high seas action and supernatural intrigue. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare is in bookstores everywhere and at BarnesandNoble.com.
This hardcover, lushly illustrated chapter book is the first book in the Tam O'Hare series. But hang on to your sabers. Book 2, Tam O'Hare and the Banshee of Ballyglen Morrow, is coming later this year. So swash your buckle and prepare yourself for a historically rollicking, swaggeringly supernatural adventure. Visit tamohare.com to learn more. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger. Dogs in...
Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to float like a butterfly and sing like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see.
This is going to be a touchdown. I mean, look at that throw.
That's right. I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in there.
And he shoots. He's gone.
And thank you guys so much for insulting me via Skype. Don't think I didn't see that in the
chat
room.
No, I was going to say it on air that you're soft.
You guys are so mean to me, I tell you what. But at least my Vikings are better than your Packers.
Hey, one season doesn't make your career.
You're definitely better than the Ravens right now.
Yeah,
that's for sure. But no, one season doesn't make a year.
Yeah, well, we'll see
what happens because it's not over yet. So
no,
we'll see
it's far from over. Favre might get a horrible injury. God forbid, and then we'll be stuck with Jackson. No.
God, not forbid that, please.
You know, he might have a compound fracture to where he's got the bone sticking out of his leg the whole nine yards.
But guess what happened tonight while we're on the air?
What?
Tennessee beat Houston,
really?
2017 at the Monday Night Shootout.
It was a good game. I didn't get to see any of it.
I didn't see that. I only see the recaps here on my desktop. So,
The
games, I watched a ton of games this weekend. It was great.
I did too.
It was one of the best ones. I have just a weekend off where I watch games. Yeah. I watch college on Saturday. And then I ended up watching a lot of NFL games so for the week.
How was the Packers game? We didn't get in our market.
Which one?
The Packers game. In my market, we didn't get it.
It wasn't very good. I mean, it had some good points to it, and it had some really awful points. Bigbee is out for the year, and Tauscher's out again. So lost two important starters. Packers were up by over 20 points, and San Francisco came back. Green Bay ended up still winning by 6, 30-24.
San Francisco's a decent team, though. They're not getting all the credit they deserve.
No, and you know, they're tough. But you know, it's the special teams again for Green Bay and our offensive line for the first part of the game, for the first half of the game, the offensive line was there and did not let the sacks happen. Then all of a sudden, in the second half, the sacks
happened. It went to lunch.
We went right back to the same stuff again.
The starters went to lunch. Okay, we did our job.
Hey, we're done. We're done for the night. So
yeah, see you later, Aaron. Have a good time.
Yeah, and then did Seattle not look very good, dude. I mean, you guys look very good. I mean, Favre with four touchdowns again.
Well, they're calling us, not to cut you off in any way, but they're calling us on ESPN, take it for what it is, the most complete football team in the NFL.
Okay.
Because we do it all, apparently. I don't know. I see where we could definitely improve. Vikings, I'm speaking.
Right.
You know, I can see where we can improve. We're great on special teams. We're great on defense. We're great on offense. We're great. Really? Well,
what is
there? I mean, there's always room for improvement, though, in all those things. Instead of getting 30 yards, get 40 yards on a kick return.
But then again, you look at some of the elite teams in the league I look at right now. New Orleans, 38-7 over Tampa Bay. And then, of course... We still got some undefeateds. Indianapolis, 17-15 over Baltimore. Now that was a strange game in itself. You know, it was the closest game that I've seen Indianapolis have in a while. So
yeah, they had to work for it. Baltimore was not looking bad.
No, I think they took him for granted a little bit, too, and I think that's what drove them off their game.
And, Vince, that's your team, right, the Ravens?
The Ravens, yep. They still have a chance for the playoffs. There's a wild card right around the corner.
Yes.
The only thing is they're losing players left and right. I mean, Todd, Washington recently tore his ACL. And what is it with ACLs? Is that the only thing that football players ever injure?
Yeah, that was the two that both of our guys went out with torn.
Yeah,
it's
kind
too.
Of funny. They had a breakdown of that, what you're talking about, while I was watching one of the games. And they broke it down on percentages of what gets injured the most. And by far, your legs get hurt more than any, 87.3% of the time or something they had on the graphic.
It's going to be real quick, I said Todd Washington. It's actually Fabian Washington. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's see, Miami 24-17 over Carolina. Like I said, Indianapolis 17-15 over Baltimore. Dallas 7-6 over Washington. Washington stinks, and Dallas only gets 7 to win. It's a win, but man, Dallas doesn't look good for the last couple of weeks.
Can you say implode?
Yeah. Oh, the other imploding team out there is Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
24-27 Kansas City over Pittsburgh.
Well, Charlie Batch is out now too with a hand injury. He's going to require surgery. And then Big
and
Ben
the,
is
the
questionable.
Other one is the other one. The other big game of the week was the Rhinos beat the Iron Maidens this week.
You beat me, the Iron Rangers.
The Iron Rangers. Yep, that's
right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I beat you earlier this year, so really we're going to have to go for a rubber match. At some point.
But yeah, that was the big game of the week, and Jacksonville 18-15 over Buffalo, Minnesota 35-9 over Seattle, New York Giants 34, Atlanta 31. That was a pretty good game. Mm-hmm. The game that I liked and I watched was the Detroit game. 38-37 over Cleveland. That was a shootout.
That was a good game. Actually, for two, can you say I can't talk today. Can you say insignificant teams? Two of them?
Were you trying to say incontinent teams?
No, yeah, that too. Inconsequential. It doesn't matter if they win. They both suck. They're not going anywhere.
But Matt Stafford, 422 passing yards by the numbers this week. He was number one.
Like, what, five TDs?
Yeah, he was just kicking it. Tonight,
that's crazy.
Chris Johnson actually got the passing award this week. 151 yards rushing, sorry.
Good deal.
Receiving went to Terrell Owens.
T.O. lit it up finally for one time for Buffalo.
Yeah, 197 yards. So
he's shown his age, though, T.O. is.
Yeah, T.O.'s getting up there, so we'll see.
So
kinda
is
like,
Moss.
Kind of like Brett Favre.
Yeah, Moss is getting up there. You know, he's not the player he once was. Yeah, they're going to become like Marvin Harrison before long. Out of the league.
Arizona beat St. Louis 21-13. San Diego 32, Denver 3. Now, that was a game that I had high hopes for Denver. Denver's done, dude.
Yes. Now,
New England 31-14 over the Jets. So New England's still hanging in there.
Speaking about the Ravens really quickly, because our guest is here, and he said it's going to take a lot for them to get into the playoffs. I did quickly Googled what it will take to get them into the playoffs. The first thing, they have to win all but two of their games on their schedule. That will put them above. The moon will have to be in the Aquarius. Yes, Rosie O'Donnell.
And Joel will have to catch a ghost on tape.
That's right.
300 times in a row.
That's right. Rosie O'Donnell, when she burps, will have to burp a whole chicken. If all those things happen, they will get in.
That'll happen. That Rosie last one will happen.
Yeah, last one will happen, definitely.
You know the team that still sucks?
The
Chicago Bears.
Oh, my God, yeah, and they traded to get... And you know what? I think it's funny that Kyle Orton's playing better than Cutler.
I know.
because they basically threw that kid away. Here, have Orton. We don't want him. We'll take your Cutler. Who's playing better? Who's playing better ball?
Not Cutler. Cutler is not doing very well at all.
Although Denver has kind of dropped the ball, pardon the pun, in the last few games.
Yep, Denver really has. I mean, I had some high hopes for Denver.
Yeah,
well, I thought they were going to have a really good season again, but man, they've dropped, and so is Dallas. You know, those are the two teams I thought were up there. But New Orleans really is keeping me going, and so is, of course, Indianapolis. Indianapolis still looks spectacular.
I think it's going to come down to, personally, it's either going to come down to New Orleans Colts, or it's going to come down to Minnesota Colts. I mean, you know, either way, I envision the Colts being at the big dance.
Oh, yeah.
They're just too good.
They'll definitely be there. We'll see what happens on the NFC side and see what happens. So
well, see, the problem with the NFC is so full of parity, even more than the AFC.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the NFC, anybody can win on a given weekend, so especially with the elite teams. I mean, I'm not saying that a lot of teams out there aren't elite this year. I mean,
no.
Vikings are up there. New Orleans is up there. But, see, Denver, I thought, was there, and so did Dallas, but they're just faltering big time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was hoping that San Francisco would do better just because. I mean, come on, they got a young team. They did really. They finished strong last year. I thought for sure Frank Gore was going to run better than he has. I mean, don't get me wrong.
And you just want him to beat the Packers. That's all we know. Understand that.
Well, my two favorite teams are the Vikings and whoever's facing the Packers.
Yeah, and that's the same with me too. I hate the Packers.
Whoever
hates the Vikings, I love them. So
no, I like the Packers. I really do. If they make it to the big game, by hook or by crook, I will be cheering right alongside you.
See, now that's where we'll differ, because if the Vikings make it, I'm going to root against them.
You always do, because that's just the way you are. That's your makeup. That's your makeup. You're a homer. You got no choice but to.
Oh, no, you're the homer of homers.
What are you talking about?
Let's go back and listen to every podcast of this show this year.
Listen to you. Listen to you. No, I'll never cheer for the Vikings, no matter what.
I never will, because that's a team I do not like, no matter what.
Why?
It's a rivalry that I don't like. It's one of those teams.
Okay, so you hate the Bears.
I hate the Bears.
You hate the Lions.
No, I like the Lions. Because I used to live in Michigan, so.
It's the Eagles for me.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, the Vikings, hopefully they win. I really hope that. I'm very biased this year because I really want them to win. And I admit that. That's my team. But the same token, if they don't win, I'm just as happy.
I'll laugh.
If they don't win the whole thing?
Yeah.
Well, actually, our Super Bowl will be if the Packers make it the Super Bowl. In the playoffs.
Oh,
so we're
not giving excuses already. Let's not give excuses yet. Wait till you lose, and then you can give all the excuses
you want. We've only lost one game so far, so cross your fingers.
I know. I'm not saying that you're not a good team. You're also, one of the elite teams. I just don't like them.
Yeah, well, that's ever will. You don't need to like them, because I'm sure they don't exactly love you.
They hate me, too. And my car broke down right by the Metrodome. So.
That's why I say that. It was all that bad juju you were giving to Brett the whole season.
I still give Brett Favre bad juju no matter where he comes. And even if he retires as a Packers, I'm going to still give him bad mojo.
Because I kid you not, guys, he was right next to the Metrodome. Driving,
I was.
Right next, right there.
My car blew a tire right there at the Metrodome.
Right there at the Metrodome. Right next there. I'll bet you, if you had looked up in a window, there would have been Brett Favre with a .22 rifle standing in one of the windows.
No, he was laughing, giving me the finger.
Saw you drive by and shot your tires out. But no, I'm telling you, better be careful. What's next?
Our next week's show.
You know, what's next? Oh, next week. Yeah, next week's going to be a great show. We're going to have another ghost show. We're going to have a good friend of mine and co-host of mine on another show I do with him. And, you know, everyone knows about that. Over at Haunted Voices Radio, Todd Bates.
Cool. It's going to be a good show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Todd is an EVP instructor. He teaches folks how to catch ghosts on tape, audio tape or video, you know, audio or digital, whatever you use for catching voices. And it will be another great show. And tonight has been just an absolutely rocking show, Vince.
I agree. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time. I always have a good time with you guys.
Yeah, it was great. We had a good time. We got into a little bit of deeper discussions than we ever have with any other guest.
Yeah, it was fun. It's a good time. It's nice to get into discussions about a field that we all care about so deeply.
Exactly.
Because we're smart.
Yeah, we got some learning.
We good guys.
Well, kiss my grits.
We got some learning behind us.
That's right.
We're learned dudes.
That's right. We're a couple of wild and crazy guys.
Yeah, I tell you, but we all get no respect. No respect.
Wow.
Yeah, I tell you, I want to be famous like that Grant Wilson dude.
Wow. Yes, I'm going to have Collargate too. Well, yeah. On that note, we got to get out of here, guys. It's been another show, another great night. Vince, we'll hear you Sunday on the Mr. America show and very soon on Ghost Tech Radio. And subscribe to Ghost Tech Magazine. Float on over to his website as well. And then make sure to show up to Harper's Ferry. And where can they get you? Can they just go to ghosttechmagazine.com?
Yeah, go, no, it's actually bag.ghosttech.com.
Ah, okay. Okay, go there. Go to hanacottage.com. And don't you also have
come
a science?
Come to ztalkradio.com.
Yeah, definitely. Too. Then you also have a ghost science website, don't you?
Yeah, ghost science website is
science.
You're blinding me with science, but yeah.
Science!
Science ho! But
ghostscience.net actually is our research website, which has psychic experiments that you can try out yourself.
Cool.
To see if you are psychic.
So everybody go there, buy the magazines, buy the books, come to Harper's Ferry, and find out if you're psychic all at the same time.
Well, what a bargain.
What a bargain. I'm Billy Mays. And
what a bargain.
But we are running late, guys, so we got to get out of here.
Have a good night.
See you next week.
This has been a production of the Z Talk Radio Network.